All right. Hello. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back for another episode with me, Quick Hits with Dre. We're going to take the name literally today. We have a lot to cover since I was basically doing, well, I wasn't doing nothing, but since I wasn't giving you the deets all weekend long, we had a ton of games. The locals were, some were firing on all cylinders, some were not, some were treading water. So let's get going. Let's get you caught up on the weekend in case you were out and about enjoying yourselves and not tracking like me. I was tracking, but not watching. So we'll give you the scores and the updates. And then we'll dive into, I played my pick safe with the NFL. So, you know, I don't think I quite have egg on my face this week like I did last week at this time. But, we'll cover it. We'll cover it. We'll, of course. So I want to rush through the locals because that's really my focus point. But, I mean, it is the NFL. Come on. Yeah. All eyes, right? It's the playoffs. Only a couple more weeks, literally. So should be fun games, but let's focus on the locals real quick. Thursday, Knicks and Rangers both in action. Knicks beat the Wizards 113-109. A little too close for comfort, if you ask me. I like to think that they were toying a bit with them, but they got the job done nonetheless. It's all you can really ask for. A win's a win. They don't ask you how. Rangers, remember we talked about the litmus test. That was the Golden Knights out on the road, nighttime game. The Rangers failed it. They failed it miserably. Wasn't a contest. They lost 5-1. So maybe the gap's not that big in a 7-game series, but not good, kids. Not good at all. So we'll kind of erase it from our memory, right, Rangers fans? We move on. And they did, sort of, kind of. But anyway, Friday games, your Devils went on the road against the Blue Jackets, and they took care of biz, 4-1. So kudos, Devils fans. Islander fans got problems. Lost to Chicago in overtime, 4-3. You got a point out of it. You'll take it, right? Anything you can get. Like the little fish that swim next to the sharks, right? Just picking up the scraps, you Islander fans. Nets, you Net fans had something to cheer about, beating the Lakers on the road 130-112. Okay, Nets, I see you. I see you. Saturday's in action. Devils, they came back puffing out their chest, and they go and they lose to the Stars at home 6-2. Let it sink in. But hey, you know, off of back-to-back, little sleepy game coming home after winning on the road. Maybe didn't get so much sleep. Is what it is, right? All right. The Knicks beat the Raptors, the IQ RJ Raptors, pretty convincingly, 126-100. We like to see it. We like to see it, Knicks fans, right? We're not mad. They just keep rolling, baby. That's what they do. That's what those Knicks do. Rangers continuing their losing ways. Panic button, maybe. Maybe. Lost to the Kings in LA, 2-1. So now they're just not going to score goals. Basically what you're telling me, or they're telling us, and I'm telling you. That's what they're going to do. So they've scored two goals in two games at this point in the weekend. And if you're keeping track of college basketball, for you Dukies, I track Duke. All right, Dre, they're not a local team. I hear you loud and clear, but there's a lot of Duke fans in New York. Let's be real. And Duke is Duke, right? So we'll track them. Lost to Pittsburgh 80-76. Dun, dun, dun. Sunday locals, if you had time for anything other than football, especially, I mean, Saturday and Sunday, but Sunday specifically, you got the Nets. They lost to the Clippers. Coming back to earth, 125-114. Islanders taking care of biz in OT, 3-2 against the Stars at UBS Arena. And then the Rangers finally get back to their winning ways and beat the lowly Ducks. They did go down early in that game, 2-0. So they're keeping up with the tradition of going down early. But then finally, they actually came back and won. And the Ducks stink. So they might as well be the it might as well be Emilio Estevez and Joshua Jackson skating around for the Ducks. So, but what do we say here on the program? A win's a win. And we move on. Pack it in. And, you know, I know it's not weekend games, obviously, but we're keeping you up to date here. Monday local, it was just the Devils. And they went ahead and beat the Golden Knights 6-5 in OT at the Rock. So maybe the Golden Knights a little jet lag. Maybe it's a little early for them, messing with their routine. I need any excuse I can get because I don't like the fact that the Rangers got pummeled by the Golden Knights. And then the Devils beat the Golden Knights. So that's not good. If we're looking at weekend records, the Knicks were 2-0. Feel good about it, Knick fans. We'll take it. Anything we'll take W's any way we can get it, even if it's against the Wizards and the Raptors. Okay? Doesn't matter. Nets weekend record, 1-1, treading water. And might I add, the 2-0 Knicks record, the only unbeaten team of the locals. So no prizes for that, though. Rangers, 1-2. The only team to not be 500 or better for the weekend. Islanders, 1-1. Treading water. Devils, 2-1. So there you have it. Locals in action for tonight. If you're listening on Tuesday, January 23rd, the Islanders are going to host the Golden Knights. So they're going to get their little taste of the Golden Knights tonight at UBS, 7:30. Knicks are playing the Nets in Brooklyn tonight at 7:30. Should be fun. Stars should be out. Won't be the same energy as MSG, obviously. But Barclays Center isn't a bad place as long as you're in the lower bowl. Anything when you start getting up, it's one of those stadiums you just got to, it's almost like if you ever been to the old Shea Stadium or the old Yankee Stadium, where once you start getting up into nosebleeds, if you were to trip, you feel like you just rolled down the entire thing, right down. That's the feeling. And it's really tight up there. But lower bowl at Barclays, great place to watch a game. Probably a cheaper ticket too. And then if you want to stay up late tonight, you got the Rangers and the Sharks, 10:30 p.m. in San Jose. Maybe I might catch 30 minutes of that if I'm not asleep already. And then for you Dukies, look at me giving you an update. They're on the road against Louisville, unranked Louisville, at 7 p.m. All right. Let's throw you some standings so you can get a sense of where the locals are after the weekend. And luckily for the Rangers, still doing well, but now they're falling behind the Bruins. But they lead their Metropolitan by 4 points against the Flyers, their division, Metropolitan Division. The wild card has the Devils and the Islanders tied, 51 points apiece, fighting for those two spots. And they're both fighting for 2 points. So Red Wings and Lightning are holding those spots down with 53 points. All right. So plenty of time left. Let's not bug out yet. All right, Knicks and Nets. Let's give you your standings. Knicks are in fifth place in the conference. Cavs are a game up on them for the fourth spot. But at least they're out of that little weird bracket thing we talked about, where if they're out of that, then if they're in that bracket between seventh place and 10th place, then they play in some little tournament to get the right to play the rest of the teams in their division. And now the Nets have been bumped out of that spot. They're 17-25, sitting in the 11th spot. The Hawks bumped them out by a half game. Plenty of time still, but hopefully it doesn't start tonight for us Knicks fans, but for you Nets fans, hopefully it does. And the Knicks are 26-17. So that's it. That's what we'll cover. That'll cover everything for your locals. Should be all caught up. We will dive into divisional games, and then we'll touch upon the AFC Championship, the NFC Championship. For what it's worth, I'll give you my opinion. Wouldn't say it's been worth much, but I was almost right. And then in some cases, I was right. Not sitting here tooting my horn, but even though we'll start with the Texans-Ravens game, the score isn't indicative. It was close going into the second half. Ravens turned on the Jets, no pun intended, to the Jets, but end up winning 34-10. It's not a consolation prize to say I think C.J. Stroud has potential. I think that team is going to be a good team. Add some more pieces. They're just not complete. And you're a rookie on the road going up against Lamar Jackson's Baltimore Ravens. It is what it is, right? I mean, it's not a total shocker that they lost, but I was digging it being a close game for a little bit there. So, kudos to them. Good season to the Texans. Got further than most people thought, right? But in the end, Lamar Jackson is too much. Too much. Now, if I look at Lamar's stats here, just to give you an idea, I mean, he's just efficient, right? Like 16 for 22. Two touchdowns. And then he's rushing. He rushed for 100 yards. The team that needs... The Chiefs are going to have to do... Are going to have to stop him on the ground. Much like Josh Allen was running in that Chiefs-Bills game. Now, that's the game I watched the most of. I had to run errands and, you know, do honey-do stuff, right? Honey-do list. Honey, can we do this? Blah, blah, blah. You know, get it, honey-do. All right, so. But Chiefs Lions, I was sitting down, had the proverbial popcorn, and watched that game. Yeah, I mean, look, it was kind of what I said it was going to be. It was living up to that, whoever had the ball last type situation. And then the defense has kind of tightened things up. So early on, it was living up to that prophecy. We were seeing it go back and forth. Josh Allen was running the football. And I think that's where the Chiefs will see when they look at the tape, there's some cracks there. It'll be up to the Ravens to expose that. I'll be obviously rooting for the Ravens. But, I mean... If you're a Bills fan, are you sick and tired of wide right? I mean, I'm a Giant fan. And I felt pain for you. I couldn't believe that. I could not believe that he missed it wide right. Now, obviously, you know, you're just tying the game there. Anything could happen. There's plenty of blame to go on the offense. I think there was a great ball thrown by Josh Allen. Yeah. Did Diggs have to stop a little bit and come back to it? Sure. Sure, maybe if it was, I mean, it was like a 60-something yard pass. So it's, we're not talking about, you know, him underthrowing a 20-yard pass. He threw a bomb, and maybe he should have thrown it 65 yards, but he threw it 60. And it went through Diggs' hands. And so it's easy to blame the kicker, and he's got to shoulder some of it. How could he not? He had a chance to tie the game, and then you never know what happens. And man, it just stinks to see the Chiefs get let off the hook like that. But they played a great game. And by they, both teams. But the Chiefs played obviously well enough to win. They won 27-24. And they go to another AFC championship game. Trust me, the NFL is dancing in the streets for the Chiefs. And trust me, they want them to go to the Super Bowl. You can bet your bottom dollar. But hopefully the Ravens have something to say about that. So we'll preview next week, but I that Packer 49er game on Saturday, I got to watch some of it. I was in a loud bar, drunk people all around me. It's all good. Doing dry January. Got no problem. But I wasn't really able to like focus in on the plays. You know what I mean? You're just kind of watching and checking in on things. But boy, I mean, did I think that they were going to pull it off. And they almost did. The Packers almost did. I thought they had a shot. I thought they had the confidence, the belief. And they hung in there and they played really well. They just couldn't make the big play when they needed to make it. And that's the difference. It's small. It's minute. But it becomes big. In big games, you got to make big plays. And they just missed making the big play. And the Niners turned on the juice. Just in time to squeak it out. They have tons of weapons. Like we said, we knew they had weapons. And they utilized them. So, the Niners are in the NFC Championship. I don't like the Niners. You know I don't like the Niners, but they're a good football team. They're well coached. And so as we look ahead to the NFC Championship game, the Lion-Buccaneers game, before we do that, before we look ahead to the NFC Championship game, the Lions beating the Bucs 31-23, that was a fun game. If you had the opportunity and you got to watch that game, that was a fun game, right? I mean, it's, you know, when you got no skin in the game and you're watching it as someone who just wants good football, boy, we got good football. That was a great game. I thought, oh man, you know, I'm like, ooh, I want the Lions to win. I can't say if they've ever been to an NFC Championship game. You can't quote me on that. But they certainly haven't had a lot of success in their career, history, existence in the NFL. I know they haven't won a Super Bowl. And so you're kind of pulling for them, right? Tampa Bay won a few years ago. They had the whole Tom Brady thing, blah, blah, blah. But the Baker Mayfield story, it's kind of cool. And then they start, you know, the Lions pack two on quick, right? They get two quick touchdowns in the fourth. And they're like, ooh, boy, they've opened up this game. Then all of a sudden, Baker comes down, leads a great drive, throws a great ball to Evans. And you're like, all right, we're cooking. Now we're cooking with gas. This game's got some teeth to it. They go for two. Meh, I get it. I mean, this, the analytics just, well, I get it, the math. I just think it's an unnecessary pressure. I just don't think it's necessary to add in that pressure to then have to go for two if they needed it to either win or lose a chance to go to the NFC Championship. It just seems like it's too much. But they did it. They tried it. They didn't get it. But the defense comes back. The Bucs defense comes back. Hits hard. Gets Baker Mayfield another opportunity to drive down the field. And it's not to be. And you know what's even sadder? It happened early. He forced a throw he didn't need to force. It's not like there was 10 seconds left or something and they needed to make that throw in the middle of the field like that for 12 yards. So it stung. I'm sure it stinks. But it's a nice story. But it comes to an end for them. And the Lions, it's a feel-good story. Who? If you're not from San Francisco and you're not a front runner in New York rooting for the 49ers, like I'm sure there's some out there, I'm certain of it. I know a few. How do you not root for the Lions in the NFC Championship game? Right? I know it's who I'm rooting for, but that's easy. So, you got the Lions in San Francisco. So, now they're out of home games. They got two. They won two. So, they gave their Detroit fans some wins at home and something to cheer about. And now they'll go on the road against the 49ers and they're going to have to play smash mouth football if they want to go and punch their ticket to the Super Bowl. And then they're going to have to keep up on offense. Look, defense wins championships, right? We've all heard it. They've been saying it for years, decades. This Lions team is going to have to hit the quarterback. They're going to have them running for their lives out there on the field. And they're going to have to hit. They're going to have to stand up. They're just going to have to stand up. Because if the defense doesn't come to play, the game could get ugly quickly. They got to control the football with the running game. They got to hit deep passes when they have the opportunity to hit them. And here I am being Captain Obvious, but it's going to take a giant effort for the Lions to pull out this game against the 49ers. And we'll all be rooting for them other than people in San Francisco and front-running 49er fans. So there you have it. You basically know where I stand. I'm going to root with my heart on this one. I'm rooting for the Lions. I'm going to pick the Lions. But you just heard what I said. If the Lions wanted a fighting chance, this is going to have to be a low-scoring game. 24-20, 21-17. Like they're going to have to stop the 49ers offense. This is not going to be a shootout for the Lions. I'm sorry. They got to control the clock, long drives, and make sure that that offense isn't on the field. And when it is, they're getting hit. And they're getting hit hard. And Brock Purdy, is looking over his shoulder, hearing footsteps. So, should be a fun game. Great weather is in the forecast. And the AFC Championship game's on at 3. The Chiefs will travel. The Chiefs will travel to the Ravens in Baltimore. 45 degrees, looks like it's going to rain. And that game is, I mean, you might want to just play back the tape from last week. I think the difference between the Bills and the Ravens is the Ravens' defense. And I think they're going to hit Patrick Mahomes. And yeah, you can probably hear a little bit of me rooting for that to happen. But Patrick Mahomes is a magician back there. He makes plays. He's a difference maker. When the pocket collapses, he finds a way to find receivers. And he's got different arm angles. He can throw on the run. He can throw off his back foot. He can throw off the wrong foot. He can throw it sidearm. He can throw it underhand. He makes plays. And he can run the football. So as long as he's healthy, he's got his legs under him, he's a force to be reckoned with. But the same could be said about Lamar Jackson. Maybe not as versatile throwing the ball off different foots and this and that, but he can sling it and he can throw it and he's got options. He's got wide receivers to do it to. So they can run the ball. Lamar Jackson runs the ball. I think this is a high scoring game. I think it has the ability, like that Bills game, to be a whoever has the ball last type situation. We'll win this game. But I think the superstars take over. I think there's a lot of power. There's a lot of star power on this field. And it should be a very entertaining game. I think it's high scoring. I think you're talking 35-38, something along those lines. So, I mean, the Ravens have a great defense, but it's just Patrick Mahomes. And I don't even want to mention his name. But, and he does have Travis Kelce. And it looks like we got the Travis Kelce of 22, 23, maybe 21. Back when he brought me a fantasy football championship. Back in my day. I remember when. But he looked like the old Travis Kelce last week, actually catching passes even as he was getting hit. So it's a good sign for Chiefs fans. But I'm taking the Ravens, 38-35. I mean, how could I not? I picked them back in August. I'm not going to pick them today. So that's the reality. I'm excited. I really kind of cheated since it's Tuesday, but I got a little ahead of myself. So maybe we'll break them down, these games, in more detail. If there's anything as far as injuries and stuff like that, we can touch upon it. But yeah, I got excited and gave you my predictions on Tuesday instead of Thursday. But maybe I'll change my mind. But there's other things for us to talk about later in the week, so we'll do that too. Anyway, if you're listening, I appreciate it. At least one of us doesn't mind hearing me talk. So cheers to you if you are. Quick Hits with Dre, Tuesday, 1:23. Hope everyone has a good rest of the day or start to your day or whatever it is you're up to and whenever it is you're listening to this. So cheers, and we'll see you tomorrow.